is to skip a, we're going to skip part of the scriptures in the three-year cycle. We're going to go tonight to Genesis 11, which is the where we would be in a three-year cycle, because tonight is Pentecost. Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Now the land of Shinar is Babylon. And this is what's happening immediately in the years after the flood. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.
Let us go down.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence unto the face of all the earth, and left And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth.
And he's never undone that act.
The act of the confusion of the languages and the casting down of the Tower of Babel was, by all ancient rabbis and tradition, occurred on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, unfortunately, the desire for this leaves right about Angela's age, a little later maybe. But there's always this imagery that if you could find one person that you could really talk to that would understand you, if you could find one person who would be, you would be as one, that there would be true friendship, that there would be acceptance without condition. And if you could return for a minute to that time in your childhood when that was extremely, supremely important to you. Now, that act of oneness is impossible genetically because of this. You will never be able to find, now, it was, we'll find out later, but it was Nimrod who was this leader guy, right? Remember? Nimrod is the one that's building this a city, this tower. Nimrod at this time is king of the whole world. He's head of all of the tribes, of all of the aspects of what's going on in the world. And the people are of one language, of one mind, of one speech, of one plan, of one imagination. And nothing that they set their mind to do will be restrained from them. Now, do you understand that since this time, really since before, since the curse, but all that mankind is, and most of what goes on in the name of religion, it's Shinar, which is Babylon, is simply to regain the power that man had before the curse. Is simply to return to this state before the confusion of the languages. I mean, that if you think about, we're going to talk about this at great length in the big group tonight. And we've talked about it in the Levites last Friday morning, and it made everybody upset. But the evidence that Satan is enthroned in that area is that there will, the evidence that he's enthroned is that there will be peace after the flesh and the absence of conflict. That's the evidence that Satan is enthroned in that place. The evidence that God is enthroned is there will be no peace after the flesh and there will be constant antagonism. The evidence that you want to return to this point before the Tower of Babel was destroyed is really the desire for oneness.
So the flesh will never rest?
No. Flesh can only be crucified. The flesh is no longer to be tested. The flesh can only be crucified. God isn't teaching you anything by this experience. He's not trying to show you anything by this or that. He's not trying to reveal anything to you uniquely by this or this experience. The flesh failed. Now, let's see if we can understand what a little bit more about Nimrod and what this act was. Now, you can imagine that men at this point kind of feared another flood. You got it? There's sort of a racial memory that the whole damn earth was destroyed, and all of these that are left are now remnants or descendants of these eight folks that made it through the flood. They want to protect themselves from another flood. So they all left their countries, their pleasant countries, and begin to move eastward to the Valley of Shinar. Now, what the Talmud says is that they no longer submitted themselves to the wise judgments and ruling of Shem, but they paid homage to Nimrod, the son of Cush, the son of Ham. Nimrod was the favorite of his father, and the father bestowed on him. Who was the father? Who was Nimrod's father?
Noah.
Nimrod was the son of Cush, the son of Ham.
That was a trick question.
Nimrod was the favorite of his father, and the father bestowed on him the garment which Adam had worn when he was expelled from the garden. Now remember, I want you to visualize that you were Adam and Eve, right? You were one of those two. You can't be both. Again, remember, pretend you're either Adam or Eve, and you get expelled from the garden, and God makes you this garment, and it's God makes it, and you know God made it.
Made in God.
Made by God. It's the first designer garment.
Yeah. I'm going to need about a 34 right.
Said God on it. First designer garment.
Yeah, we say, God's too small.
That's right. I was hoping for bleach.
Oh,
man.
You don't say that.
See, Paige Patterson didn't have to put up with this.
It's true. Paige wouldn't deal with this.
Anyway, this garment was alleged, and it's again, it's not just in the Talmud, it's in all of the ancient rabbinical literature. The garment was alleged to have these wild powers. Because, I mean, God made it, God touched it. And that's how the power, by that act of that, the garment is where, the way Noah controlled the animals to get on the ark. It's now anyone who possessed the garment controlled whatever environment.
That was the first thing that ever cost a life with
them. Right. So anyway, Nimrod took possession of this garment. Now later on, Esau's going to steal the garment from Nimrod. It's another story. Was Adam gave it to Enoch, Enoch gave it to Methuselah. Methuselah gave it to Noah. And Noah took it into the ark to give it to Shem. And Ham stole the garment and gave it to Cush. And that's really what this thing that's going to take place in a minute when Ham gets cursed. He gets cursed when it says he uncovered his father. I mean, it was a big deal. But anyway, Nimrod used the garment, thus becoming, according to legend, invulnerable and invincible. He easily conquered all his enemies and slew the hostile armies. With the garment, all animals around, the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, came at once and prostrated themselves before him. And men, when they saw the animals do this to him, made him king. As I said before, eventually Esau killed Nimrod and stole the garment. And Jacob finally concealed the garment in the earth, burying it deeply in the earth, because he said that no man was worthy to wear it, to wear them. Now the whole world worshipped Nimrod as the ruler, as a ruler and as a god. He, in effect, was the type of the god of this world, just as your earth, and again, the type is you. This has to be seen. If this scripture isn't a type of what's taking place in this vessel, in this earth, then this scripture is just, you know, interesting little anecdotes and boring sacrifice, you know, it's nothing. Your god of this world demands that total homage be paid to it. The whole world worshipped Nimrod as ruler and god, and the longer that he sat on the throne, the more uneasy and nervous he became. Why? Why in you is the whole... Why does entropy exist in you? Why, when you're real young, the world is full of possibility thinking, and then pretty soon you get real uneasy about you being in the control of your switchboard. Why? Because you know you don't deserve it. Your own guilt will eat your lunch. No matter how many psychological tricks you try to convince yourself with, you know you're not worthy of being the divine. And so you begin the process of sabotaging yourself. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
Who? Huh?
It's funny you think that.
It's funny you should think that.
It's funny I should think that you sabotage yourself.
Is it him? Is it me?
It's him.
It's him.
It's not
him. He's
the only one that feels
there.
I'm the only one that feels
there. Nobody else here.
I'm the only one that's ever sabotaged myself.
That's right.
Huh?
We've got it together, man.
Next.
His counselors had read in the stars, the one messages in the stars, that a man would arise who would teach the world the knowledge of the true God. When he saw that, he then began the attempt to convert everything towards the kingdom of self. In other words, the argument before this, he used himself as the king. But once he saw that the desire of the nations was predicted by the signs of the zodiac, then he saw, he was wise, he had wisdom of the world, he said, I know how to fix this. I will cause each man to believe he is his own divinity. And his self-seeking would begin. Because of that, the Talmud says he did more evil than any man. He invented numerous idolatries, and he lived in direct opposition to Yahweh. We'll see later on now pretty soon where in the hall of Nimrod there were 500 idols. And this was in the age of Taurus. So their chief idol was the age that the zoological age, astrological age that was they were in. And they were in the age of Taurus. And so that made the head of the bull the chief god. So they had 500 gods, and then the chief god was this human form with the head of a bull.
Merrill Lynch.
Huh?
Merrill Lynch.
Merrill Lynch. When Abraham found out that these gods were phony, and what he did is he took an axe handle, and he went through that, and his father, Terah, was the chief priest of Nimrod. And Nimrod had no children, so Abraham was to be the next king of the world. But Abraham saw through the idolatry, and he took the axe handle and went around the room, and he busted down, they busted every one of those 500 idols in the hall of Nimrod. And he took the axe handle, and he put it in the arms of the bull with the man's body, and said,
He did it.
Well, then Nimrod put a price on Abraham's and Terah's life, and they were expelled from Babylon, and that's when he left and went to Haran. But anyway, he did more evil than any man since the flood. He invented 500 idols and in direct opposition to the knowledge of God. He said, I will be avenged on Yahweh for the drowning of my ancestors. Should he send another flood, my tower will rise above the mountain and keep me safe.
And so, made a covenant with death.
Huh?
Made a covenant with
death. Made a covenant with death. He made a covenant with tomorrow. Now, one reading says they planned an assault on heaven. Soon the tower had risen 70 miles. This is, I'm telling you stories. Soon the tower had risen 70 miles with seven stairways on the east by which hod carriers climbed to the summit, and seven stairways on the west by which they descended. Now, Abraham, who was then Abram, who we haven't seen yet, but we'll see in the next few verses, Abram cursed the tower. And he cursed it because if a man fell to his death on the tower, from the tower, his neighbors never so much as turned their head. But if a brick dropped from the man's hand and broke, all bewailed the loss of that brick. Now, think of that, what that means in terms of what you do. You create a plan. And you sacrifice everybody in your tracks and your surroundings to accomplish that plan. And if a brick from that plan falls, you curse it and bewail. But if you have to separate hundreds of people from you in worshiping of that plan, you will let them go. You do the same thing Nimrod did. Understand me? Now, the evil of this, the evil of this age above all other ages, now they are doing this in God's name, in the name of Jesus. They are creating plans and putting the name of Jesus on it. And then they murder everyone that gets in the way of that plan. If you don't believe me, talk to an evangelistic campaign of some organization sometime. Talk to the building committee of a church. Here, we won't do anything if one of you disagrees with it. Do you understand that? So that means whoever is the weakest, if you will, spiritually, is the one that controls. Now, if we ever stop doing that, we're in big trouble. Okay. Nimrod shot arrows into the sky, allegedly at God. God's angels caught. God's angels caught every one of the arrows that were shot into the sky, and they dipped them in blood and then threw them back down. And now the archers cried, now we have killed all of the inhabitants of heaven.
Is that correct? That corresponds to the Lagbar Omer, like 10 days before shooting the arrows?
Probably.
The what? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The feast that had to do with the ascension 10 days before Pentecost. One of the things that people used to do is they used to shoot arrows into the sky to keep the demon from coming down. I was wondering if it corresponded to that.
Now God then ordered the 70 angels nearest the throne to go down and confuse the language, making 70 languages of one. Now then God appointed 70 angels to guide the 70 countries of the world, 70 different countries. But he said, over Abram's children I will myself watch, and they will continue with the Hebrew language. So Hebrew was allegedly the first language, the only language by which the sacred truth can be heard in and understood. At last, Isaac's son Esau met Nimrod by chance while both were out hunting. They killed him and took the garments. Esau was greatly strengthened until Jacob stole them from him. Let's eat some cheesecake.
You know what all this reminds me of? Remember when Crystal's hot seat, we were talking about a stained glass window being broken and everything goes to different pieces and then film rolls back. And
right.
It's like that's the difference between the Tower of Babel and speaking in tongues. I mean,
it's good.
I mean, everything is, you know.
Take a big guy.